stuff it.
Well, you just made me think of one more. Isn't Jeff Lynne not with us too? I mean, Jeff Lynne, sorry.
Jeff Lynne. No, Jeff Lynne's still with us.
Jeff Lynne's still with us.
He was here loads, wasn't he?
So he's the only one, right?
Yeah. So clearly, don't be in a band with Jeff Lynne.
Jeff Lynne's in America at the moment, isn't he? He lives in Los Angeles, doesn't he?
They all do.
Yeah. I did see him a few years ago because he played at the pub I used to work in.
What, Jeff Lynne played at the pub you used to work in a couple of years ago?
Well, when I say a couple of years ago, 30 years ago.
Oh, right. Jesus, mate.
Hey, a couple of years for me, it's just like...
I'll tell you what, mate. Alzheimer's is a curse.
What are you using, Steve Mapp?
We had a lot of the move. We had Jasper Carrot play there, and Jeff Lynne. Quite a few of the move. I can't remember all the names, actually.
The move? God, there's a band.
Yeah, well, that was Jeff Lynne's first band, wasn't it?
Really, I only know of ELO. Because I just thought that was the coolest name in band history at the time. Of course, there's cooler names.
Steve Gillan. He used to come to the Tyburn.
Well, Greeny's on the way. When Greeny gets here, we'll get him to play Mr. Blue Sky. Because he can play it on the piano.
On his ukulele.
No, he can play it on the... I was hoping that he could be here to fulfill my bet. Because I still do owe Tom... singing the Star Spangled Banner, but I'm not doing it without decent backing. So there you go. Hello, welcome to the Max Show. None of that actually counts because it was all pre-show, but I recorded it, so we'll stick it in, eh? Well, joining me, absolutely stellar bunch. We've got the Bash Show, okay? So we are going for curry after this, and we are starting the Bash weekend. It's going to be good. Will Green is here. What's the studio postcode? That won't help him, not from the station. I need to send him a message. Joining me, fantastic bunch, starting us off so I can send Greeny a text. Dot Rock.
I thought that was Greeny.
I don't even know how to begin that one because that was too funny what you just said.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you. Good morning.
How have you been, mate?
Busy as all get, and I really need to take a vacation. It's driving me insane, but I can't. I have so much work. I'm like tweaking right now.
Really? I saw you typing something out early on Twitter this morning, yeah?
That wasn't me.
It was. You said thanks to people who let you do their vision or something like that.
No, that wasn't me.
That was what definitely your Twitter account, yeah.
Somebody's in my Twitter?
Or maybe you're just drunk tweeting.
Yeah, there was.
No.
That's unlikely.
I went to sleep at like midnight, so if it was before then yeah. But that would have been noon to you.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. I needed you to fill here without me having... I know you're tired, but I'm still typing a message to Greeny. So I could have done with you talking continuously for about the next minute, which you don't usually have a problem with, I have to say.
So, Doc, tell me about Bike Factory.
It's freaking 5 o'clock in the morning.
I know, mate. I do. I got sympathy.
Yeah, so I'm not awake yet.
All right. Next to him, because I finished my text. Jeff.
I'm glad Doc was able to fill for you like that. I mean, that was so natural. No one picked
up on it. Mate, no one's going to pick it up, and I can edit what can't, so.
Yeah, that's true.
What the hell have you been doing, Jeff?
I feel I've just been conference hopping lately.
Yeah, we saw you at your thing.
Yeah. So I was at I was in Portland, excuse me, for the first time. And that's a great city.
Did you see Miss Gamont?
I saw, no, I didn't get to see anyone.
You didn't really. See Kelly? You went all the way to Portland. You didn't see Kelly?
No, I didn't get to see Kelly. I didn't get to see Gene. I didn't get to see Ian.
Bad friend.
And I think everyone was actually out of town when I got there.
Jeff's coming. Let's leave.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it was. So all the people saying, oh, my God, Jeff, when you get to Portland, we have to get together. When they found out I was coming to Portland, they left.
Oh, mate, I feel bad for you, dude. Man. I just want you to know, if you come over here, we won't leave. We'll stay in England just for you.
I appreciate that. Actually, you've already proven that because
I have. We went for dinner.
We ate together.
We did.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Next to him, Steve's
backing up a lorry.
There is someone backing up a lorry outside. We got the windows open here because it's really friggin' hot, and I'm not shutting the windows just for the sake of quality audio. Because quality audio is my life. I just realised there's a comment from Bob in the chat room. I forgot to say it, Doc. Are you allowed to talk to us now that you've been on Matt Break Weekly?
Yeah, I mean,
are you sure it's not in your NDA or something like that? Don't come on,
dude. You've been on too, so close your face.
I haven't been on Matt Break Weekly, mate. I've been on Twitter, but I've not been on Matt Break Weekly.
You were on somebody's show, Tom's show too. Yeah,
I was on Tom's show a few times, and I was also on with Jason, but I've never been on with Leo. Yeah. Well, I have been on Leo on a new show that they canned after the second episode. No. They didn't can it after my episode because I was the first. They canned it after the second episode.
See, it was only me and Andy. Leo wasn't there, so it doesn't count.
Oh, right, really? You and Andy on your own?
And Laurie and Renee.
Oh, mate.
So basically, Renee had to babysit everyone.
I was going to say, is it hard work? Was it hard work talking to Renee, even as a fanboy?
Did you just call me a fanboy or him?
No. I said, even though you're a fanboy, you know, it's like he's the mega fanboy. He makes you look like Steve Ballmer.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into an apple measuring exercise with him. That wasn't going to work.
Yeah, but his apple measuring is all in his head.
Call the next person, damn it.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. How you doing, man?
Hi. I'm doing beautifully. How about yourself?
Long time. So Steve's wearing a cap because his lights are too bright. The fact that he can turn his lights down or move them,
sort of cool.
Steve, mate, where you been? Have you been on a cruise? Is that why we're not seeing you?
No, I haven't been on a cruise.
Captain Steve.
Let's see. Listening to you play guitar earlier, believe it or not, I started at the beginning of this month. I am now trying to learn guitar. At age 61, I'm learning to play guitar.
So how many chords have you got under your belt?
Three or four. Three very nicely, and number four I have some issues with because I keep muting other strings. Because I have little fingers. And it makes it very difficult to...
Oh, but that's where you need to... That's where your barring comes in, mate.
That's true.
Have you done barring yet?
Not yet.
So you got your first position, which is your E structure for an E major. And if you slide that up to the fifth fret, then that's an A major. So you don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. And if you do A major, which is your three fingers, yeah, you can slide that up to the fifth fret, and that becomes a D. So pretty much that's every song in the book right there, and two chords on a bar system, so you don't have to worry about music, mate.
That's great.
There we go. I'll send you a bill.
It's great. I've actually been writing about this for Apple World Today and then OWC's Rocket Yard blog. It's been fun, you know, because all these other people I'm finding out, get a lot of people who go through their careers, through their lives, and they... Right. want to play an instrument and they never do, and then they finally get to my age right around there and they say, I'll be damned, you know, I could actually do this. And so I'm getting a lot of great feedback from people saying, hey, I picked up ukulele, I'm learning to play bass. So one of these days we're all going to get together and have a huge band.
If you want to learn bass, mate, you know the guy you got to see, right?
Who's that?
Sam B. Assman on Twitter. His name's Sam Bassman, but when I saw it, it was Sam B. Assman.
Assman.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But Sam is awesome. Sam has given me a lesson in, because I bought a six-string fretless bass. It's like, that's like going up to the high board and diving in when you can't swim. And he gave me a lesson on how to tune it, how to play some basic stuff and positioning and that kind of stuff, all via Skype. Brilliant.
Nice.
Sam B. Assman. Follow him on Twitter. He's absolutely brilliant. Sam Bassman. He's a professional bass player in LA who I met at Macworld, and he's a god.
Well, the bad thing is I'm always going to know him as Sam B. Assman.
Yeah, no, you've got to call him Sam B. Assman. That's why.
That is just awesome.
When I met him at Macworld, that's kind of say, it's Sam Bass, man. And he went, I'm not, it's Sam Bassman. I went, oh, what? I never figured that. It was just like my perverted brain just saw the ass man bit. And I'm an ass man too.
Oh, great.
No, dude. Not. It's not. It's not. Next to him, Patrice.
Hi.
Where have you been, man?
Here. Busy. It's summer. Like, it's crazy hot outside. But no, I've been here.
Excellent, mate. And we've got the bash this weekend. And the thing is, it's like, all of the other three here are going, oh, I'd like to go to the bash, but the thing is, they've never been, whereas you've been, so it must be 10 times worse for you.
Oh, it's horrible. Like, I was actually planning on being there this year, and it didn't happen, and I'm like, oh, like, I really wanted to be there. It's always such a great time. I'm going to miss it.
It is. It's a reduced affair this year, but it's still going to be awesome. We've got 30-odd there, so it should be pretty good.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah, 30 odd in my garden is going to be compressed, and especially based on the fact it's due to piss down all day tomorrow. So it could be very evocative of the second bash that we ever had. Were any of you guys at the second bash where it pissed down?
No, that was the year before we came.
That was awesome. That was that really was. It was like the war. It was like the adversity bound everyone together. It was superb. We had five gazebos up. And then we did live shows. Actually, Andy and Atco came on one of the shows. And we did a Mac show on a Saturday for the first time ever. We did a big show as well. And we had the mics slung up and then run underneath all of the, unlike zip ties, underneath all the canopies so that they didn't get wet. And then they dropped down. And people would walk up to them, to these hanging mics, and talk into the mic and then walk away again. They wanted to be on the show. We had 50 there that year. 50 in my back garden. My back garden ain't big, as many of you will be able to testify. Yeah.
That's awesome. Know how you fit 50 in there.
Yeah, we didn't. We had a pig roast out on, and he came and put it on the front drive, and he's like, he said, so I brought the pig roast. He said, so where do you want me to serve it? Here. Okay. Have you bought salads and rolls? And no, I haven't got anything. I thought you'd provide the rolls. I'm like, nope. I bought a pig roast off you, which is more than a bloody pig. So in the end, I forced him to go and buy his own salad and his own rolls.
Who
eats salad? It was dressing, mate. Just... And here in the studio for the Mac show, my daughter, Bryony, has decided to come. She's the attractive one, playing with her hair constantly and making sounds in the microphone because she wants to be in special effects by the...
No, I just found me messing around.
Okay, fair enough.
There's a difference.
And next to her, busy ferreting away, and Bronnie's going to hold the mic for her because she's still making it.
I am.
That wench has got the pod racing challenge. How you doing, mate?
All right, we're doing well. We're on second bag already.
Oh,
nice.
I'm a bit of speedster when it comes to building Lego.
Now, where did you get your dress?
I made it.
I know.
Your dress is awesome.
I made it out of bedding. A quilt cover, actually, but...
So Batwinch has made my BTN shirt. She had the stuff custom printed. It's got all the logos of all the shows on. And tomorrow, for the bash, I will wear my BTN shirt. The thing I've got now is it doesn't fit me very well.
I'm just thinking it'll be like a tent on you.
Mate, I've got guide ropes fitted to it. Oh, but it's okay. Right. Yeah, I won't blow away.
I'm not altering it. I'm not taking a bar. I'll have to get reprinted.
Do you know what? I've just got rid of about 1,500 quid's worth of jackets and waistcoats because they don't fit me anymore. I've given them to a bloke who's huge. And he went, oh, it's a little bit big for me. I said, don't worry, mate. You'll grow into it.
I can see a Cyberman who's struggling.
Hmm?
There's a Cyberman down here and he's really struggling. He's trying to assimilate her or delete her, but he's having no chance at the moment.
Yeah, but she's sat on him. he's knackered.
Delete.
And the dulcet tones of Muller, who's here with his I've Got a Small Arm t-shirt.
Sorry.
How have you been, mate?
I'm fine, thank you, yeah. I've got a bus here, which took a while.
Yeah, I know. You're a madman. Go all the way into town and then get a bus out to Kozel when there's a train that runs every half hour that takes 10 minutes.
Yeah, I walked into town, though, to get a bit of exercise because I'm a health freak now.
Good.
I've walked. I've got
to say, dude, your posts in the beer room in Slack don't reinforce that anyway.
Yeah, but I got my July Apple challenge sorted. So I got 176.1 miles I had to walk, and I smashed that a few days ago. Nice. So up you.
All right, no, it's okay. I'm the fat and healthy ballast bloke in the chat room. But yeah, go on.
Well, I walked 176 miles this month, and there's still a bit of month left, and I've probably done another 15 miles after that. So excellent. I think I've done all right.
Okay. And I will walk 176.1 miles more to see a man who walked 176.
I could totally play that on the guitar.
Actually, if I walked 176 miles, another 176 miles, I'd end up in the sea.
Yeah. The week in Apple.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah.
The week in Apple. Everything that's gone on. It is a Mac show. We will be dealing with it. Greeny is on the way. He's just got out of the station. He's lost. I've set him the directions, which means he's still lost.
He's lost.
It might be good. But,
I'm going to say he's going that way.
Is he around the corner?
He's gone to the station. He's out of the station.
So I'll go and get him.
Just yeah, but which station?
No, well, yeah, good point.
Yeah, so which one?
Yeah, he called at the station on the moon. The week in Apple, all stuff that's gone on. First thing then, there's been awards issued for Shot on an iPhone. There are the IPPAAwards.com have got a whole series of photos, and every single one of them was shot on an iPhone. He's
in. No, that's a wall.
He's actually walked in. Greeny's actually found the place. Holy shit.
That was just like, that's a door. That's a wall.
Greeny boy! I haven't got a portable camera, no. He's just going to have to walk into shot. Hey! Greeny boy turns up. Here he is. The cool dude.
Yeah, I know. Look at that. Wow. Look at that.
Greeny boy.
Hello.
How you doing, brother?
I'm okay. I'm
get yourself around there. There's a pack for you.
Oh, awesome.
Shove my daughter out of the seat and you can sit there with the mic.
You can just have...
I love you, but... the pictures are out. IPPA Awards. Shot on an iPhone. First one is Little Brother, which is two kids stood on a beach. Shot by Gabriella Sigliano, I want to say. But it's an Italian name. I'm not good with Italian. Bloke in stripy pyjamas on a beach with stripy tents. And that was actually quite nice. I like that one. And then I really like this one. I'm gutted that this has only got third or second place, which was a girl from Russia who everyone turned up to watch a movie on an outdoor theatre, and it's pissing down with rain, and she's really caught the rain beautifully. That's my favourite image out of all the ones that are here. Totally the first one for me. A nice one that kind of is just a little bit lost, which was from Pen and Cow. Photo in Nevada at the Burning Man Festival. You know, we're doing a show, right?
It's a spider weed.
Audio's my life. There you go. Those are the first three. I thought they were really quite good, actually, because normally photo competitions, they give the prizes to the shittest pictures.
The first place winner, wasn't that shot on an iPhone SE?
That's an iPhone 10, the Little Brother one. Because I remember reading that, shot on an iPhone 10, and then the one with the stripy, the stripy one was shot on an iPhone SE. Good point, mate.
Wow.
Well, so you see, this is the thing, and this is an important thing, because we went to Harry Potter at the weekend. The whole family went down to the making of Harry Potter. And that, I'm a cynic. I am a media cynic because I've seen all of the crap that goes on to make stuff and people go, ooh, and it's not real. And I was blown away. I thought it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. It is totally a bucket list item for me, and now I've done it. And the special effects stuff that they did where you could fly the broom and that kind of stuff really worked well. It looked brilliant. When the finished versions that we bought, it looked awesome. And Ellis was walking around with me, and I'm grabbing loads of shots on my tennis Max. And he's like, oh, my stuff looks crap compared to yours, Dad. I'm like, see, I need a better camera. Right, Ellis, you're 16. You're not earning anything. I'm not buying you another iPhone, mate. Stuff it. But I use that camera. You've got my iPhone 7, and I use that camera, and I publish commercial shots from that phone. And I'm sorry, but it's fine. You've got to know what you're doing in post. So I said, right, here we go. Let's take a picture of the fountain. So we took a picture of the fountain, that's in the different coloured faucets. He looks at mine. He's like, God, yours looks so much better. I said, right, give me yours. Okay, here we go. Highlights. Let's take the highlights down. Let's open saturation. Let's boost saturation 10%. Let's have a bit of contrast in there because it naturally shoots a little bit low on contrast. There you go. It looks exactly the same as mine. It's no better. It's no worse. You've just got to do it in post because mine's doing it with software. Yours is doing it. Yours is actually a truer shot, if you like, than mine is. And he went, oh, right. Because he just realized I'm not buying a new iPhone. but that's the thing. I mean, you're looking at Jeff there going on, saying that this is an SE. There is so much you can do with the 6 wasn't brilliant as a camera. The 6S, a little bit better, but the 7 was the real step up. Certainly 7 onwards, the camera modules are perfectly good for doing DSR level shots. They're not as good on Zoom and all that kind of stuff, but the quality's good.
Yeah. You know, the thing for me is that they shot it on that photo on an iPhone SE. And yes, it shows that it's more than just the camera. It's also about having the eye for the good shot and knowing how to do post-processing that brings out the best from the shot.
But even things like the number of people the number of people that I see where I've taken a picture on my iPhone and show it and they go, oh God, that looks so much better than mine. I'm like, so where's your guidance? And they're like, what do you mean? I say, you haven't got the grids on. Why haven't you got the grids on? Put the grids on because the grids will give you third points. You know, that'll help you balance the shot. Mm-hmm. Don't mess around. I can do that without the grids, but you know, why not? Just put them on there. There's tons of stuff there. And the other thing that was really interesting was the other week we got, this is a shot. Here we go. Is this yours, Batwinch?
Yeah.
So whilst on in Tenerife, Batwin shot this. Oh, there we go. You're not going to get it in focus, of course. Dolphins. And actually, that's really incredibly well exposed. It's blown out a little bit on the picture of what I've shown here, but that is very well exposed, actually, in the actual image. Email that to me and I'll show it properly. But there is tons that you can do with it. But the what was I talking about before she interrupted?
Put the grids on.
Yeah, put the grids on. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's so much stuff. And I was doing, Sharon was out in the garden the other week hitting like, do you remember swing ball? The tennis ball that you spun around the pole?
Yeah.
Tetherball, yeah. So she's hitting the tetherball. And I spent years like going to baseball games, cricket games, that kind of stuff, waiting and pushing the shutter at the exact moment when you need to. So I know when to hit that. And I'm sitting thinking, I know there's going to be a bit of shutter lag, so I'm going to hit it exactly on. iPhone deliberately shoots after you push the button, or before you push the button. So when you've got her, she's hitting the swing ball, right? She's going to tether ball. It's going round. And I'm pushing the shutter button just before she hits, knowing full well that there's probably going to be a tiny bit of shutter lag, but I'm going to catch the impact point. iPhone thinks I'm crap and knows I'm not going to hit that point. So it actually goes through the images that it shot before I pushed the shutter and said, no, this is the one that you want.
So is it sort of grabbing the images? That doesn't seem right to me. So it's taking control of your camera and doing stuff that you don't want it to do? Or?
Well, so the thing is, I'm
protecting you.
Yeah, no, I'm good enough to know that I can hit the shutter at the right moment, and I'm good enough to know there's a shutter lag, so I compensate for that shutter lag. But the phone, and I work out pretty quickly that the phone is actually, when I push the shutter, it is picturing probably 2 frames sooner than that on a 30 frames per second rotor. So it's capturing the images because the cameras are open, and then it's discarding them. And when I hit the shutter, it's picking the one 2 frames before.
So in some ways, it's open all the time, or at least it's caching sort of.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no question it is.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help you with the shake. So sometimes when you're too shaky,
he's a bit creepy,
it will run a bunch of images together to kill the shake. That's the reason why in live camera you can pull a long exposure.
Yeah. So Bob put, isn't that how live works? Yes, but it does it. But I always have live photo switched off because I can't stand it. I hate it. I want to actually take the picture I want to take. But the iPhone, that's the interesting thing, is the iPhone is not taking the picture I want to take. It's taking the picture it thinks I want to take 2 frames earlier.
Yeah.
The rapid fire thing for a lot of the action shots, because I don't know which photo the iPhone's actually going to pick. So I just hold the button down, and then I go and pick the right one out of that.
Which is great. First
photo.
Yeah. But I mean, I wasn't even hitting on burst. This was choosing the image for me ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what pushed me to use burst for action shots.
Yeah. Go on, Patrice. You were saying something.
Yeah. I mean, the reason for that is very simple. I mean, you're trained, you know, like how physical cameras work, you know, like how, like when to hit it. Most people don't. They will expect, oh, if I hit the shutter right the second I want the photo and it's going to pick it. But like, even on the phone, there is a physical lag between you hitting, or actually between you deciding you want to hit the shutter, you actually hitting it, because there's like probably a couple milliseconds in between, and then it actually registering and taking that. And Apple's basically compensating that for most people.
Well, there's a point from Bob here that says Apple always thinks it knows best. But actually, for 90% of the population, Apple probably does do a better job than they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And as always, I mean, you don't buy like an expensive camera or any kind of equipment and expect like and just use it and like don't get to know your tools. You have to know your tools. You have to, I mean, you and you with your cameras, you know exactly what that shutter lag is for the cameras you're using.
Yeah.
Like you got to know your tools. The flaws it has, like where it overcompensates, undercompensates, the tools you have available, like all the adjustments you can make. Like, you know that. You have to get to know your gear and have to understand it to be able to like capture a really good shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I teach a iPhone photography class over at our local community college, Arapahoe Community College in Littleton, Colorado. And one of the things I bring up to a lot of people, you know, because they're going, well, how did you get that shot? And it's the same type of thing you're talking about, you know, in terms of, or Ewan is talking about, excuse me, but in terms of... you know, you just really have to take a lot of pictures with that camera, understand what you're looking at, try to make it look good before you shoot. You know, all of these little things are involved in creating a great picture. And what really surprised me was during the class, I always have everybody go out, take a bunch of photos. And one thing I challenge them to do is take at least like 5 or 6 pictures from an unusual angle. And, you know, that's one thing that a lot of people don't think about. You know, they always want to stand there and take the photo, you know, at eye height. And I tell them, get down on your knees, you know,
go
over and, you know, turn the camera this way. Do whatever you can to try to get a different angle. And I've been surprised with how receptive people are to that and how good a lot of the results are. So, you know, a lot of just little things make up a phenomenal photograph, and the camera is just a tiny part of it.
So day one, when I get a new lens or a new camera, I will sit there and I will go out onto the patio. I'll take some knives from like a knife drawer that we've got, and I'll stick them into the balustrade on my deck. And then I'll focus on the first one, and I'll shoot with 2.8. Then I'll shoot it at f8. Then I'll shoot at f11, f22. And then I'll go back, and then I'll focus on the second one. I'll do f2.8, f5.6, and so on, all the way up through the stream, because I'll see them differently. Because every lens that you buy has got an error correction on it. So you will be shooting at what you think is f2.8, but f2.8 on a Canon lens versus a Sony lens will be entirely different in the output that you get from it. You've got to know what you're getting in and what you're getting out when you're going through your f-stops for depth of field. So I always do that with every single camera. A couple of images we've got here. That's Batwench's image. And I got to say, I think that's a stunning image. Well done, Batwench. Great shot.
Yeah.
But the thing for me is that is a very optically well-balanced image, in the sense of you have got incredibly good contrast there. It's not underexposed on the contrast, which a lot of the iPhone shots are. And the you look at the highlights in the water, you've got the white whites that are there on the top dolphin versus the black blacks that are in the fin on the same dolphin. And everyone takes the piss out of me for this, but I'm going to stand by it. A good image has got white whites and black blacks. That is the key. It is the contrast range between the stuff that's close to burning out and the stuff that's close to filling in. That is the important part of any image that you shoot. And I see tons of stuff on Instagram and it's just washy shit because they haven't bothered to look at the contrast ratios on it. You want to put an effect on it, that's fine. But you start with the contrast ratios perfect and then you put the effect on. You don't start with a shit image. And then Doc's just sent me a picture of a horse. And again, this is the HDR that's in the lens there. That's really, really good. That's lovely tones there. The browns are incredible in that. Great shot, Doc.
No, I tweaked it in light. I tend to leave the HDR and the thing turned off, but I tweaked it in light just a touch. But I think the number one thing most people forget, and it's such a simple thing, but I watch so many people do it. And when you go on a vacation and you tell someone, hey, can you take a picture of us? People never tap the screen, not just the focus, but it adjusts the exposure and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And because we all just had this conversation about Apple thinking it knows better than you do, I always have to tell them, okay, tap the screen and just pull it down a little bit. And they may or may not get it right. But when you happen to be in a modern biracial couple, Apple can't do that. So your white and your blacks, a picture of me and Patrice together is going to screw the iPhone up. So you got to like tap on it. You got to tap on it and drag it down just a smidge.
Dude, are you
and
black?
If you do that, it comes out perfect.
That has nothing to do with whites and blacks.
I'm teasing. It was a joke.
That's to do with
it. It does it on purpose. But
that's to do with the smell of piss.
Most people don't realize that you can, you know, adjust the exposure a little bit and not just let the phone arbitrarily pick your exposure for you.
But the thing is,
actually, never mind, Patrice. Jeff is much paler than you.
So
so true.
Actually, you've got to say, actually, Patrice, your image is pretty blown out, actually, against everyone else's today. But no, the point is that your natural tendency, your iPhone, is going to be to underexpose. And that's no bad thing, because I would do that with DSLR. I go out into a challenging environment where I've got issues with lights and darks. I'll probably underexpose a little bit just to make sure I've got that compensation afterwards, if I'm shooting a single image or I'm not bracketing.
It's easier to bring the color up than try and get something that's white back.
Well, you'll never get, that's the point. If you underexpose, a filled in black always looks more natural than a burned out white. And I don't mean this horribly, but essentially, if you look under Patrice's right eye, he's blown out. And you look under Doc's, he's probably a little bit underexposed on his face, and he's certainly underexposed on the ear pod. So, you know, that would lift, whereas Patrice's will never fill in. You will never get any detail back in the area. Once you hit 255, 255, 255 on the information tool in Photoshop, it's never coming back. I hope you've enjoyed this week's photo show. I'm totally, because I haven't done one for a month, I'm totally claiming this is a photo show. iPhone XR is the best-selling phone in the US. Now, there's a bit of me here is going cheap. There's a bit of me here is going actually very good. It's the 10, isn't it, effectively? But also, I'm sitting going camera module as well, because if I lost my 10S Max, it was like, would I buy another 10S Max? Well, yeah, money, no objects. I totally would. But if I couldn't afford one, would I buy a 10R? And that was my challenge to myself. Like, could I? And the answer was yes, I would buy a 10R.
Agreed.
That is a 10R, you muppet. The X is a 10. It's a 10R, you moron.
Why are you calling him a parrot?
Why have we got Mueller on the show?
Comic relief.
Yeah, so best-selling iPhone at the moment in the US is a 10R. Discuss. That was a euphemism for I need to go to the loo.
It doesn't surprise me at all. It's a nice package overall, and it's at a good price point. So yeah, why wouldn't people be buying the 10R? I mean, if they're looking at the 10, or if they're upgrading from anything below a 10, the 10R just seems like a really nice choice.
Yeah, I mean, we discussed that when Apple announced the phones almost a year ago, that the XR was so close to the XS and XS Max that it was like, I remember, I think Adam even said it was a serious contender for him, like as his primary phone, as someone who probably, I mean, I don't know what he bought ultimately, but like at that point, I think he was considering the XS. And he was like, well, it's so much cheaper and it basically is the same, almost the same phone. So I think it just makes sense. Like it's, for most people, it is the best phone they can buy for actually a decent price. I mean, it's still expensive, but
yeah,
compared to the rest.
I like it. I got one.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And I remember before the XR came out, there were pundits complaining about the screen on the XR because they felt like it was going to be lower quality and an inferior display. And I think that their concerns were misguided.
It suits my eyes. Can't see any difference.
Most people have no idea that it's a different screen.
Yeah, I mean, it might be on some measurement in some edge cases an inferior display, but again, like for 99% of cases and 99% of people, it makes no difference at all.
In terms of imaging, though, when you get back to that, if you know that your display is not as good, then you end up correcting photos against that error correction itself. So it's irrelevant.
The whole thing, I think, in some ways is sort of... that's not the reason people buy an iPhone. The size of it or the camera, I don't believe, at least for me, it's the functionality that it brings. You know, like today, I was in London and I was doing this sort of, I stopped in this hostel. That was interesting. £8.
Yeah, but that's because you sold your body as well.
I did, yes.
It's a hostel.
Called a hostel. Well,
a hostel.
No, it wasn't even a...
Was it a hostel or a hostile?
I'm nothing against the guys. And
it's
gross. I wore my pretty bonnet. Have you? What? They're not too bad, are they?
Muller, you know you've got to have a mic in front of your mouth and no one's going to hear a word you're saying, right?
I stay at the Army one just by King's Cross. I do it a lot because I'm entitled and it's really cheap.
Okay.
I mean, really cheap if you qualify, so.
Yeah, no, I don't qualify.
It's right above the station. Stairs and
there were these people kept walking in and saying, I'm leaving, and who does your sheets? And then for £8, what are you moaning about? Like, in central London.
Who did your sheet?
I went into a pub yesterday for a beer early morning because I was supposed to drop some off and they weren't open, so I had about an hour to kill.
Yeah.
And I went in, I ordered a beer, which was really nice, in the Wellington. And the guy came and stood next to me, and he said, I'd like, can I have one of the Dalwhinnies or the Crag something or other, Crag whatever's. And she went, yeah, which one do you want? And she said, whichever one you can reach. And she said, well, I can reach both of them. He's like, yeah, whichever you can reach. So she just pulled the Crag Avon down or whatever it was, poured him a glass, and he went, I was supposed to inherit the McCracken distillery, but I was cheated out of my inheritance. And it was just like, yeah, I'll finish this now. Thanks, man. I'm off. I'll go for some else.
Can I just say, can you prove he didn't?
No, I can't, but just call it a feeling, Muller.
I'm just saying, that may have been the case.
I could have been stood next to a millionaire who wasn't, but yeah, yes. Exactly. I think I actually was stood next to a millionaire who wasn't.
Well, that's probably true. I must admit, I listened to the Rootless, so I'm very disappointed you didn't know where all the garden parties were, you know. The garden, you know, at the back, it's lovely. You can go straight into the other pub, and then you can walk straight.
No, but I knew where the Welly Garden was, but I didn't know where the old joint stock garden was.
Oh, it's literally at the back, and then you go straight down the stairs.
You can see it from the Wellington garden.
And then you go straight into the pub. I mean,
but it's not a garden. That's my point. We've got a beer garden.
No,
we've got four buildings that have created a centre chimney of heat.
Courtyard.
It's not even a courtyard. A courtyard just says horses, and it's not. It's a funnel of heat that comes up, but it's actually quite pleasant in there.
It used to be a bank, cool. though, didn't it? I mean,
the joint stock was, yeah.
It was literally the stock market of Birmingham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Wellington wasn't. The Wellington's always been a piss-up joint.
No, the Wellington actually has got a lot of history. I won't go into it because I know you know it and you'll get really bored.
Okay, moving on. that was a great discussion about the 10R that ended up at the Wellington pub in Birmingham. How on earth?
The reason I started to...
Really started it.
Yeah, well, I...
Ah, no, right, there's a thought.
Briony.
It's, so I don't, you know, I'm not into photography. It's not, you know, I appreciate it and everything else.
Moon landings.
No, moon landings, photography. Oh, did you read that? No, it doesn't matter.
No. Stay on track.
We're not doing that. Moving on.
No, moving on. But the point I was trying to make, which is very sensible and very mature, which is very similar to myself, like a fine cheese. A bit moldy and a bit blue at the edges. And anyway, the point being is I was in London. And I thought, well, I'll do a walk. So I walked from Marylebone to Victoria.
Quite a walk.
Which
That's
was...
not short, yeah.
It was about 4 or 5 miles or something.
Yeah.
And...
it's not exactly straight, though.
No, it's not straight. And to be fair, I didn't use the Apple one. I used Google Maps. And that helped me out every step of the way. The crappy pub I was stopping in... I was able to check that out on Booking and Booking.com, the app for that. And for me, and everybody's different, of course, but those are the reasons I use an iPhone. And it doesn't really matter whether it's a 10X or a 10R or whatever. The core functionality of an iPhone, it remains pretty much solid from... sort of version 5 going onwards, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you're doing the Maps thing or if you're doing the Glimpse thing as well, that really works really well. All of that stuff works brilliantly, and it is that. But for me, I can get that from an Android phone. I can get that from a Pixel 1. I can get that from a Google one still. I can still get it from my iPhone 4 if I actually just bother to update the software on it. It's a thing that tips it over. It's the thing that says, why is it worth upgrading? And the thing that for me that's worth upgrading is when the camera gets better, most definitely. So I think there's everyone's upgrade path is based on a single feature that the iPhone delivers. And if it delivers it, then they take it. If it doesn't deliver it, then they don't take it.
That's a great path. I give you my phone. Yours.
Again, Batwench, you know you need the microphone, right? Or no one can hear you.
Well, somewhere about you.
Oh, mate.
I would say, well, our upgrade path in our family is my father-in-law got my 7 and he ended up taking more pictures on holiday with us on the 7 than he did actually the camera he took with him. Because he was just couldn't bother to look around.
The iPhone's totally a day out camera now.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
It is good. Batwench has finished. Here we go. There's the Pod Racer.
That's beautiful.
The new Pod Racer from Lego. Built nice. In around 25 minutes.
Quicker than a race.
By a competent adult. If she'd have thought about it, she'd have given Briony £2 to make it for her in about 10. But, there we go. Mate, what a fantastic present. What a fantastic present.
I like that.
Yeah.
It can be quiet as well.
Yeah, it did.
You know what the problem is, don't you? I've got a nothing.
I know, but, you know, you're an asshole and I'm not. The thing is,
all right, listen, no need for that, but thank God that didn't come out of microphone.
Is it your birthday, Abby? Is it your birthday?
The Batwench.
Beginning of the month.
Oh, well, happy birthday. Sorry I missed it.
That's all right. No, I was mid-40s.
She mid-40s. So she moves. So the thing is, it's her birthday party to come to the bash. It's her birthday party to come to the bash. So she uses it as a birthday party. And some bastard moved the bash back by 3 weeks, totally screwing up her birthday. Whoever he is when we get him, he's dead.
That just seems
considering how ill I was on my birthday.
Now then, moving on. There, this is. It's the thing is, it's like we've been derailed constantly, and it's not greeny.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm reining it in.
You are. You're actually been quite sensible. Worryingly sensible. Where's Greeny? What have you done with him?
No. He's, don't worry. He's not gone far. After that guy was having a go at me, I was like, oh, Christ, here we go.
Who's had a go at you?
Oh, that bloke who was saying, well, when are you going to sack Greeny?
I told him never.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
That's all right. We're good. Muller Bike has put Greeny is sensible. Holy shit.
I like to think I am. To be honest, I'm super tired. I got about 2 hours sleep last night.
Well, that's what you get for £8.
Winner, winner, winner.
No. Oh, mate, forget your photo. That's why you're on the show.
Patrice is having a BBC News moment.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello.
Bunny.
What's your name?
Oh, she can't hear us. I'm on, like...
The dog's going to eat the bunny, right?
No, the dog doesn't seem to be too interested in the bunny.
What's her name?
Gwen.
Gwen.
Hello, Gwen.
Get her to wave.
Can you wave?
Like, no, she can't wave. She doesn't know how to wave yet. She's not been on the call. Hey!
You will wave, or I will.
Mola.
Why is everything so small? Like, I move, and then after I move.
Yeah, it happens when you get old.
Single best show ever.
I can edit.
Is Gwen IA? AI, I should say.
AI?
Yeah.
No, mate. No. She didn't know how to wave.
She's a real person.
Yeah.
No, she's a real person. Yeah. No.
No. Patrice building some robots.
Yeah, I know.
It's what his job is: build robots and develop.
Are you implying Patrice had to invent his family?
I know.
And that German droid technology is pretty rare.
No, that's definitely VR and AI going on there.
Gwen.
And machine learning.
Gwen, say hello to Bryony. How old's Gwen?
She's 6.
Okay, Bryony's 10, so they're kind of equal.
Yeah. Oh, she's turning next year. Well, the other kid that's with her dad right now is 11, so.
Which is my dad, but she's my sister. We have separate dads.
She's not your dad, she's your sister. That's some hillbilly logic right there.
That's how families work.
That's how Louisiana works, mate.
My father is my uncle. No, what's that? Yeah.
My father is also my uncle. We got a show title.
It's Anakin. Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, mate, Patrice, what a life you're going to have in Louisiana, man.
Dad, will you get to the point of us talking about computers?
Oh, yeah, that's what the show's about. You're totally right. I forgot
go
all
B,
about.
Go B, I, go B.
I totally forgot all about that. Well,
you know this has got nothing to do with computers.
No computers for a month. No computers for a month.
Just because they're reminding you. Yeah. Too bad I'm going on my computers.
Apple is reportedly wanting a custom 5G modem ready for use in products by 2021. And they've also bought Intel's mobile 5G system, haven't they? For $1 billion. They've got the major shareholder in it now.
So, yeah, second largest acquisition, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of money to spend.
Yeah,
on.
It is,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and they're also acquiring about like 2,200 employees from that business.
Who made you?
Well, Intel needed to offload their modem business because they had essentially one client, and they weren't really making money with that business anymore. That one client's Apple, so it makes sense. Apple buys the business, they get control of that modem chip technology, and then they have their own custom chip in 2021.
I think, because the thing is, I think there's going to be an awful lot of issues with 5G, certainly in terms of penetration of signal. So there was an image that came out the other day testing Verizon's 5G, and they were getting 2 gigabits a second, which is just like, wow, that's phenomenal. But where are you getting 2 gigabits a second? Because I think the number of places where you're going to be getting 2 gigabits a second is not going to be many.
It's probably in a lab somewhere.
Well, yeah. So the thing is, the 5G stuff, 5G is great for marketing because 5 is bigger than 4.
Just ask AT&T about that.
But
we all have 5G phones right now.
Yeah, but instead of actually delivering something which is significantly better for everyone, what we're going to end up with is what we currently have with 4G, which is actually a 3G system that's a little bit better, but not enough better to not be 3G that was good.
Wait.
Am I right?
In some countries, they've already banned the 5G.
Which countries are that, Bird? I'm really impressed now. Go on.
I don't know. Just like some countries have already banned it.
They banned 5G?
Yeah.
Do you know why they banned 5G?
Because it's too strong.
So the frequency?
They're afraid of it.
Also, it can give you cancer.
That's right. Well done, mate. I'm so impressed. Mate, get round here and give me a hug. No, I just want to get you out of the chair. You're blocking Greener. No. Well, there you go. If a 10-year-old in Birmingham knows that 5G is not brilliant.
So what is it? Is it too powerful then, or?
No, it's the frequency range, because it's high frequency. It means it's got low penetration, so it won't get through buildings. It's not getting. You're going to get it in city centres, and then it's just going to dissipate too quickly. You can't. I'm trying to think of analogy, but it's like a voltage. If you've got a low voltage, it's great, but you can only run it over a short period of distance. Otherwise, it then just you lose it. So the high frequency stuff dissipates all its energy in oscillation, rather than dissipating all its energy in travel.
Look at that.
I was giving a decent physics egg lecture there, mate, and you lot are talking over me.
It was good.
If it gets too close to your body, then it can give you cancer.
Well, that's not true, but there's no proven studies about frequencies of. I mean, radar missiles will burn you because they are in the ionizing non-ionizing range. Help me out here. They're in the non-ionizing range, which will give you burns. They won't give you molecular change. But 5G is pushing up towards the higher end frequencies of the non-ionizing band, and people are worried that it could. But the bigger issue is the fact that it's just basically shit.
Well, the misunderstanding here is that 5G is...
It's all right, we got a bloke who understands the ionizing spectrum next to me. I'm not going to say his name, but he's giving me some nods up here because I know where my limit lies with ionizing and non-ionizing radiation. Although I'm pretty good, and he said I'm pretty good, I'm not that good.
Yeah. As I said, 5G is not just one frequency, it's like a whole range. So
but it's higher end frequencies.
Issues are, like, they're different. Like in city centers, they might use the higher frequencies to get more coverage and more bandwidth. In like more rural areas, they use a little bit of a lower frequency so that they can get the range, because that's the
frequency range is higher than 4G and 3G. Particularly, 3G has greater penetration by far.
Sure, because like that's the only way how you can get the bandwidth, and also like. That's the only range that's available. Like everything else is already taken.
There's a comment here in the chat room from the person who sat next to me who knows things better than me, and he's put lots of really significant changes in 5G, but spread is probably the least of it. But you're right, rollout of the 5G spec is going to be very slow, and there's lots of O's and W's in the slow.
Yeah, one thing a lot of people... I think don't realize as well is that for a lot of the rollouts to actually occur, they're talking about putting in a bunch of very small cells. For instance, a neighborhood like where I live, I think it was AT&T went to a meeting and said, we're going to put in like 2,500 transceivers. And people were just, oh my God, you know, they're thinking they're going to see this huge cell tower in front of every house. That's not the idea. They're looking at small cells that'll actually sit probably on top of light fixtures, street light fixtures. But, you know, that's one of the other things that they're going to be able to do to actually increase, you know, the power. Like you said, you've got a very short range in many cases, but just put a lot of cells out there.
Well, your repeaters are going to have to be massively increased. Where you currently are. You're talking about every building having a 5G repeater if you're going to talk about proper coverage in dense areas where you've got high blockage.
So the funny part is, I think a lot of people are really caught up in the nomenclature, and the nomenclature sort of doesn't matter. That's how we get tricked. And I know, like, my first quote-unquote 5G experience was basically fake 4G experience in San Diego, but going from getting about, say, 100-ish on my phone to being in San Diego and getting close to a gig was mind-blowing and super, super fast. So even if they only make it 4G and make it that fast, who cares what it's called as long as it does what it does? But I think the other thing is the biggest punch in the radiation, it comes from phone calls, which is something people rarely do on their phone nowadays. But your phone calls are going to be when it's pushing the most. A lot of your network traffic and stuff isn't as bad. And also because your network traffic is held down, you know, at arm's length where the phone call is stuck next to your head. So no one's going to give up their phone because of radiation. Otherwise, we would have stopped way back in the 90s. So it's kind of a weird point.
But I think this is the thing that the muggles don't get, is the fact that I can be sat in a pub talking to people on the internet, and I've got four bars on my 4G, but I'm still getting really crappy speeds. They don't get the fact that that's because there's loads of people around me. And you go to a sporting venue and you turn up, you flip your phone out. Yeah, I got five bars. Fantastic. Here we go. I can't upload a photo. Because you're on a freeway and you've got 5,000 cars on the freeway with you. It doesn't matter. You've got 10 lanes. You're all on the same shit speed. And they just do not get that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
I'm
much more likely to upload my stuff after the fact now because it's so frustrating.
Wall Street Journal is going to nuclear levels with Apple, it would seem. They published an article after, remember your spat that we talked about a couple of weeks ago? You know, I said, Walt Mossberg is never getting into another Apple event. Apple apps are unfairly dominating the App Store. Here's a shocker.
Yeah, I like Apple's response. Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh. Dope.
Wait.
Well, the reason why this is dumb. Here's the reason why this is absolutely dumb. You can go into any store that basically sells, let's pick a grocery store, right? Like, I don't know what you guys, I call it Tesco. I guess that's the right one. You go into Tesco, they sell a bunch of brands. But they will often highlight their brand, one, because it's normally the value option, but it's also their real estate. They pay the rent. So that's a known quantity. I expect to walk into Sears and see Craftsman at a much larger scale than some of the other better brands that happen to be there. You roll in the Best Buy here, you see Insignia everywhere. Insignia stuff is mostly crap, but it's still there. That's part of their gig. That's what they do. So it's not like anybody developing the app doesn't know that Apple will probably promote their stuff above. Also, people know when you develop an app that Apple will probably steal it if you do really, really well. But all of these things exist because they invented an app store. You wouldn't even have an app store. So shut your face. There you go.
There you go. Mic drop.
Apple spokesman walked to a podium, stood in the middle of the Oval Office at Apple and went, shut your face.
I totally would get
the kudos that I get from that for me. It'd just be incredible.
To be fair, anybody could have invented the App Store, couldn't they? I mean,
they didn't. That's the point.
Yeah, but you didn't, Greeny.
Yeah, well, I thought about it. No, I mean,
no, sorry, Nokia did. Nokia invented the App Store.
True. Good point.
Yeah, but there was five people there.
Yeah.
So, I miss the old days.
What old days?
The old days.
Where you had to wind up your phone to talk.
You want to go back to party lines, don't you?
I don't like all this.
Oh, party lines, my God. Hello? Hello?
Dial a single. Dial a disc.
My mum used to talk to her.
Whitehall 1212.
They could talk to each other. Click, 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 click.
It was, yeah, it was a bit naughty, wasn't it? Anyway, that,
I'd like to make a long-distance call, please.
You know, I still find it fascinating that people watch this show.
No, it's not fascinating. It's astounding.
I used to really, really enjoy getting into my car. You know, remember back in the day when they released a new version of OS X and you got in your car and you traveled to your local app?
We're talking about the desktop version now.
Yes.
Right. And you got in your car
with
OS X.
And you drove to Birmingham or London or whatever.
OS 10.1 was totally car integrated.
But no, well, hold on. But they've taken the magic away. All this, life is too easy these days. Like, you know, the kids of today, they won't appreciate the pain and the excitement.
Trying to make a desktop operating system work in a car.
No, it was the anticipation of going there and getting a physical company, opening the box and hoping to God, you did die halfway through installation.
The whole thing. And like iLife and iWork. And well, when it released, like iLife 09, you think, wow, you went to Birmingham or wherever.
I've got to say, you know, this is,
you're going to agree with me, aren't you?
I'm going to regret this in a second, I'm sure of it. But I am actually going to be totally with you there that picking up the CD for iWork 08 and Logic 8.
Yeah.
Was a highlight of that year for me.
Oh, it was!
I really friggin' enjoyed that.
It was, and Logic especially. Leopard, of the manuals,
mate. When everyone that went to Leopard, and it's just like, holy shit, Apple have really got this now.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember standing in line to get my copy of Leopard on launch day.
Yeah,
yeah.
20 quid it cost me.
I hosted the Leopard launch day line at the Apple Store.
Leopard was seminal. Leopard was one of those points where the cliff dropped.
Yep.
And it was like, holy shit, because it totally changed the way you interface with your computer.
You know, utterly. Like, I've got two children, and whether the sort of going to Birmingham to pick up my copy of Leopard was a bigger thing than seeing my children born.
Steady off.
I'm not entirely sure. No, but that was only a joke. But the point being is, I don't like it now that everything's free and it's easily downloadable and I work, whatever.
And that's a negative?
Yeah, I think it's a negative.
No.
They're not putting in the effort.
No.
I want a great big box. I want loads of manuals. I want a massive box.
You never read. With an end user license agreement, you've got to tick, put on a postcard, put a stamp on it and send it back to them.
Well, no. Okay.
Before it gets out of hand, one of the best things, and I get what you're saying, and I appreciate that, but I remember when I got my Borland C++ box, it was about a foot and a half long, weighed about 80 pounds, and had a million manuals. And what ended up happening was I never used the manuals. Most of what I learned came from the forums, and it sat around forever collecting silverfish. So just the amount of paper and waste that we no longer create because we have digital download is probably worth the entire missing of, I get what you're saying, because I did love that, going to meet everyone at the store. Oh, you're going to get it too? Oh, cool, let's link up, you know, in the forum later so that, you know, we could talk about our install headaches. Or when you were doing 14 discs, but, you know, you could be online late on the other side, you know, installing a disc and talking about what you're going to do or whatever, having a conversation while you're like group installing a 14 disc Photoshop update. Yeah, I get that, but the landfill was ridiculous.
But no, dude, there's no landfill because you keep the manuals, yep, even though they're full use. you totally keep the manuals. Don't tell me you've thrown away your iWork manual.
Recycle?
I recently did.
No! Oh, mate, call yourself a fanboy. You're dead to me now. Man.
The only pieces of Apple software that I've kept, I've got one of the boxes for HyperCard. And, you know, with the manual and the floppies. And that's
mate,
the
type of mate thing. I'm going to swear, I've got HyperCard in a plastic. I haven't even opened it.
Excellent.
Yes.
When it comes to
dude, when did you think that flashing an iTunes card was going to help you?
What?
When did you think that flashing an iTunes card was going to help you? Mate, you need to flash your iWork 08 album.
Yeah, you stole it from Tesco as well.
Mate, that's... I don't keep the book.
Mate, I'm sorry. I, when Leo hears this, you're never going back on Matt Brady.
that works for me. Patrice can explain it to you. We have small real estate here. You can't absorb. I mean, he's been to my office. I had like 1,000 square feet. I can't store all of that crap anymore. I got rid of all of my wax to put all my stuff into the computer.
Windrider's just typed hypercard with an exclamation mark, which I think is probably his little blue pill. Based on the age he's at. Totally with you, man. Hypercard. I've got a hypercard in the plastic.
I think, you know, when a new piece of software came out, it was, or, you know, operating system or whatever, it was like a new Christmas day. It was something you got excited about. And that's all been taken away now. And I mean, things
no,
like...
No, I totally get... I think you're exactly right there. I think there is a certain element of the buzz and the hype around getting something new has dissipated a little bit.
It's all gone. Yeah. I mean, we used to go into the Apple Store. You got a T-shirt as well.
And
you just got... Right.
You got the lot. And I mean, the one thing I haven't got, which I'd love, is, you know, the Alice in Wonderland through the Looking Glass game, and the packaging on that is just unbelievable. So packaging is like, it's saying, okay, you've got a beautiful book here, but I'm going to chuck the book away, I'm going to replace it with the PDF. It's just not the same.
It is. You can search it for a start off.
Yes.
So in terms of functionality, I'm totally with you, Muller. You're exactly right. Yeah. In terms of nostalgia, I'm totally against what you're saying.
Have you seen these books?
They're
dense and they're...
Yeah, but there's a duality of that. That's what I'm saying is, I'm totally with you in terms of functionality. You have my vote.
And I'm 60.
Totally with him on the fact that I have got books I will never throw away.
You're with him?
Yeah, for OSs, that there is something that they are irreplaceable. They are irreplaceable. They are my youth. They are my history. They are my past. They are a moment in time where I never replace it. And I'm sorry, I'm with him on that. But I'm also with you on the fact that actually, I want the printed version, but I'd love a PDF as well so I can actually read it.
I mark it up. Did they saw that?
Oh, sorry, I'm reading. Sorry.
You're like... Behind me, my chair's blocking the view. There's a stack of books that totally fit exactly what you said.
And so whose camp are you in here, Jeff?
I'm in the camp of keep the books.
Keep the books, but put a PDF on the CD.
But give me the PDF so I can actually use it.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
Did you just call Jeff camp?
No. Which camp are you in?
I don't know.
But Jeff totally camp, yeah. No, that's not a problem. Windrider said, my username used to be Hypercard. Which means his username is still Hypercard. So if you'd like to go to Hypercard on any forum, Tinder, Grindr, whatever, ask for a password request. And Pete will be getting a lot of requests in the next few days, including the Westboro Baptist Church. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO hosts. They're incredible. The reason I'm wrapping up is because we've got to go for a curry in 25 minutes. If you would like to support the British Network, they've been with us for years now, and we love them to bits. Thank you so much to TSO for supporting us. You need, if you are a BTN listener and a BTN fan, doesn't matter whether you listen to the news show or whether you listen to the Mac show or the Big Show or the Crack at the Rootless, you have got to go out on Twitter and say thanks at TSO host for supporting at British Tech. And they've started engaging quite a lot with the guys that have done that. So please make sure you do that. It is incredibly important. If we lose that bandwidth, we disappear from the airwaves entirely. So please, please, please check out TSO host and make sure you support them. Right. Cool thing time. Docky, start us off, buddy.
Well, the physical product is currently in. Any more noise you guys want to make back there?
Oh, it's Sandy, mate. He's got his mics. You're going to hear a stream of pee in a minute.
Yeah. Oh, it's killing my ear, though.
When you're ready, Doc.
Anyway, the physical product is currently in the machine right now and being used, and I don't know if you noticed a slightly better vid quality, but I just switched from the old Cami Link to the new Cami Link.
We love our gods and stuff.
This thing right here is so, so much dope, right? So now I can, now I actually have three of them. I can actually plug in all of my Sony mirrorless cameras to each of the Cam Links and do switching through Stream Deck or Wirecast or whatever you want to use.
Nice.
And this guy is like really incredible. The old ones were like $100. This one's like $140, but it's quite amazing. They upgraded finally the capture software to operate a little bit better on the Mac side. It's really clean. It doesn't require a lot of setup. It's literally about plugging it into a USB port and plugging a 4K oriented cable in the back, and you're good to go. Like, I can't say how much the Elgato Cam Links have helped out. I mean, I've been using the original version on this show for about 2 years now, and I just decided to upgrade so that I could slap in my old mirrorless now that it's been outdated. So but it does spit out 4K.
HDMI to HDMI, or is that USB to HDMI?
It's USB to HDMI.
So if you plug in like four of those into, say, your Mac, can you put four cameras in and it will recognize them individually?
I currently have three in right now.
Yeah, okay.
That's so cool. I'm sure you could add one more. I don't think there's a limit. This is a 2018 5K iMac, but I was trying to find what I did with the other one so I could show you how big it is. It's relatively small. If you remember the original Elgato product that we all fell in love with, which was the Turbo H.264, it was basically a little thing you plugged in to do your calculating for you. It's still that size. So it's not much more than a pack of gum or an old school jump disc, just wide enough to fit an HDMI port in. So yeah, I would say pop up a couple and then try your Wirecast switching with it.
Excellent. Good pick, mate. I like that a lot. An awful lot. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, pal?
I have an app for you today. And here we go. Now you have the link. It's called Backpack Studio. And this is an iOS app that it replaces an app from a few years ago called Boss Jock Studio. It's an app that it's like a mixing board and recording studio that you can put on your iPhone or iPad. And I had someone asking me recently, how could they do something like that on their iPhone? And it turns out this thing is out now. And it's like $9 or $10 US. And you can put in all your own little sound clips. So you can have bumpers or whatever in there. And you can plug a mic into your iPhone or iPad, or just use the built-in mic, whatever. And away you go. So you can have a full recording done. Plus you can live stream with it.
£9.99 if you want to get it in the UK, which is
okay. So it's probably $9.99 US then.
$9.99 US and $9.99 UK, as well as exchange rates are still evading Apple.
yeah,
but it looks pretty good. It does look very good, mate. Nice pick. I like that at all. Really good. Good stuff, mate. Steve, what have you got for us?
Well, I mentioned that I'm learning how to play the guitar, and I'm not going to bring the Yamaha Pacifica in bright raspberry red. I'm not going to bring it over, but I thought I'd show you my little iRig micro amp from IK Multimedia.
That's good.
This ended up being just perfect because I wanted something that would not only act as just a small portable amp if I needed it. You can also plug it in. Yay! 15 watts if you plug it in, 7.5 as portable off of battery. But the other thing is it also works with Amplitube and some of the other IK Multimedia apps. So you can... kind of simulate stomp boxes, different old amps, different things like that. So pretty cool little box. I think list price on it is $149. I've seen it on Amazon for $129. But a nice little amp. Speaker's pretty small, but you can also plug it into a bigger speaker if you need to.
So what have you bought to learn on, an electric or an acoustic?
Electric.
Oh, right. Which electric did you buy?
It's Yamaha Pacifica. I can never remember the model number on there, but it's like 120V.
Cool.
It's a nice little guitar.
Acoustic's good for getting you strumming up. That's the thing. Excellent, mate. Good pick. Patrice, you got an oldie but a good ear, mate.
Yeah, since we, for a change, have weather in Phoenix, because we're entering monsoon season, I wanted to pick my favorite weather app, which is Carrot Weather. It's available on both iOS and Android. It is amazing. Like, it's still my favorite weather app. It has sliders where you can, they have a little, like, in air quotes, AI in there, like a little personality, and you can change how it behaves. And I switched it all the way to being really nasty to you and like making inappropriate jokes and all of that. If you don't like that, you can disable it. But I really think it's funny. Like the stuff they put in there is also like sometimes it's political. It's always up to date. Like if something happens in the world or in the US or wherever, they will usually put a reference in their, like in their app or in the database. So you could, like the day after or whatever, you will find some obscure reference to it when you open the app. Other than that, it's a really good weather app. It has really great data. It is not cheap. Like I think it's $4.99 US to buy the base version. And then if you want advanced features like whatever radar, or like certain notifications, you will have to pay like a little subscriptions. It's not that expensive for the subscription. I think the highest tier is $25 a year or something. But you get a lot of features for that. And if you don't need that, which most people don't, like I actually don't, you don't have to subscribe. Like they're not forcing you to subscribe if you don't need the higher quality maps and the notifications for a lot of stuff.
Stop pushing my Oculus meat sack.
Yes, exactly. They have little games in there as well. Like, so it's a really fun app. It's really well maintained. It's well built. Never crashes. So
excellent.
Carrot Weather.
Cool.
Good pick. Molly, you got a pick? You need a mic, dude.
Jesus. Okay, mate. I did put one in the...
it's only been 2 years.
Yeah, sorry. I did put it in the... just above...
No, it's been 8 years.
No, you didn't.
Just above Jeff.
Yeah, I've got it, yeah.
Yeah, it's being Mrs. Barack Obama.
On BBC Sounds podcast.
It's a really interesting podcast. I mean, particularly for Americans. I'll tell you what, that lady's really engaging. And it's a
really?
Yeah, really, really engaging. You really must listen to that.
Okay.
Book is incredible, too.
I'll tell you what, I think you learn more about the woman behind the man. Because he was quite invisible, wasn't she, behind it? I mean, you knew she was powerful and you knew she was there. But she's kind of come out of a shell on this.
Since he stopped being president, she's a lot more vocal, isn't she?
Well, I assume she can be more vocal now. So
I don't know. Do you think the office holds the first lady back?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I think it's not so much it holds her back because a certain current one has sort of said that is untrue. But I think she's got more decorum.
The certain current one. What part of that do you think is not going to be obvious that you're talking about Melania?
I just think she's got more decorum than the last incumbent.
Mate,
current.
Really?
The class level is
on about
bottom.
Michelle's got more decorum than Melania.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't
Michelle
say
Obama
that.
Well, that's what I...
Oh, right.
So much better.
She
all around.
She's she comes across as a really, really.
If you like the podcast, you really should read the book. The book is incredible, and she goes through her upbringing, and you understand why she is what she is. She is she's the bomb. She just won like another like Woman of the Year award somewhere recently, like within the last week. And I forget. I was so busy, I forget what it was, but I heard it in passing. But yeah, read the book. The book is great.
That's next on my list, actually, to be honest.
Good.
I can second that. The book is amazing, and like the cool or funny thing is at the end she says, Yeah, and I'm not running for president. Like, I don't want to. Like, and if you've read the book, you understand why. Like, where she's coming from and why she never wanted that.
Well, you got to say, I think she's got the creds for it, absolutely.
She would, and a lot of people have asked. Mm-hmm. She's like, nope, yeah. Not doing it.
No,
well,
she's
totally Crooked Henry won't get it, will she?
Well, you know, we've, I mean, you look at the British Premiership, we've never had anyone of colour in the British Premiership, although we have had women, which America hasn't. But to get a woman of colour in the White House as president would be a real slap to the rest of the world. Good pick. Really like that. Batwinch, your turn.
Oh.
You want a pick or not?
No, I haven't got one, sorry.
That's all right.
Apart from a wonderful Lego set.
That wonderful Lego set from Muller for your birthday.
Yeah,
super. Greeny boy.
So I missed the start. If you're a podcaster, you probably know more than I do about this, which wouldn't be difficult. That Apple have been in touch, and they're changing all their categories and stuff.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so if you're a podcaster and you missed the email that Apple sent you, I think it's worth looking at. So that's not really a pick, but I just thought I'd put, you know.
No, there was a bit earlier this week where you couldn't select any categories to go and look at other than the main podcasting page. That was it. So if you're not in the top 100 podcasts in the world, you just don't exist.
Yeah.
Which is a bit sad.
That sucks.
But, okay though,
aren't
you?
Well, I'm okay, but but it will change. I think they're just getting sort of rejigging things ready for the new podcasting app for Mac. But that's not my pick. What is my pick? My pick is when I first had my iPhone. It was given to me by Apple, and it was fantastic. I loved it. And one of the very first apps, games I got, when they moved to the App Store, was the
Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, I mean, they've rejigged it, and it's as good as it's always been. I'm loving it. I'm not doing particularly well. I'm still on the garage part, you know. And you sort of, I remember back in the day, I went all the way to the top, but not so far. So that might be a comment on my age or intelligence or whatever. But it's really, and it's free, absolutely free. So if you've never come across it, do a quick search on Texan Hold'em, and you'll have a great time with it. And he's got these sort of these characters, and it's what's really nice in the background for the garage one. At least you've got the original iMac, and I think there's an Apple II there. I think there's an Apple I as well. All sorts of fun, sort of fun stuff in there. So that would be now. Ewan's sort of walking away, so I can get another one in, I think.
Yeah, go for it. I think you've got an iPhone cable.
No, I haven't really got another one. But I've had a really nice time with that. So that's good. I think it's the music as well. It sort of pings back all the memories, doesn't it? Memories like the corner of my mind. Oh, I was going through Birmingham New Street on the way to here.
You mad fool!
Well, I they got a piano there.
Oh, good on you!
Oh, I couldn't help myself,
Mr. Blue Sky.
I did pretty much my whole set.
Somebody had to do it. It was either going to be me or you.
Well, I had about it because I missed the train, and my coach was late, and I had about 40 minutes, so I gave him the lot. The whole Will Green repertoire, Sting impersonations, the lot.
So what do you mean?
How much money did you get?
Should have had your cab. I didn't know that. Is there a tip jar?
8 quid.
You could have done 8 quid.
8 quid.
Yeah, you should have just put a little cap out to see how much money you could have got.
You know, that's a really good idea. And I've never
think shame that down moment's passed, eh?
Well, I noticed Ewan has got a piano.
Are you going to play us out, Mr. Blue Sky?
Well, no, I thought you were going to play.
Oh, okay.
Now you're going to do it?
He's got to do, actually, he's lost a bet he needs to do, so maybe you could actually help him.
You two should people are leaving the chat room before the music starts. And one of them's currently in the room.
I know.
They should do
I'm just ably enforcing the fact that he hasn't
Shall I play the piano?
You can play the piano on the way out. We need to get on the way out. That sounds really bad.
See, well, wouldn't want to be.
No, I'll set it up while we're doing, because Bryony wants to do a pick in a minute.
Do you play the piano like Les Dawson?
Right, anyway.
Yeah.
My cool thing, right? Where's it going? I can't get it up. Oh, this is so slick, this show. There we go. My cool thing is Let Me Out. It is an iPhone game that you can get, and basically you're in a car park with a really fast car that you can't get out of the car park, and you get the option to move stuff around to try and see if you can get your car out of the car park. Plain and simple. And when you do, the car disappears, and that's it. You're on to the next level. It's riddled with ads, so it's not brilliant for that. But if you go into airport mode before you start it, you don't get any of the ads, so you can just sit and play constantly. My daughter told me that. I'm on like level 120, steady on.
I'm just here,
What, of car park? Are you playing car park? Oh, that's cool.
I've got my phone.
Oh, mate, that's excellent.
You ain't got a license.
Uh-huh. There we go. See, and then the car's gone. There we go. Level 120 right now.
You know, you can, if you got up there, you can actually move the car.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, mate. That's why I'm on level 120 and you're on 4. And the other one, and this is going to really bug Bet Terpster, because he's always going about, he looks at the games that they promote on Instagram and he always goes, oh, what? But actually, I downloaded it. And it's Flip Man. So basically, a bloke drives a motorbike, which he then deliberately crashes against the edge of a building. You then grab on and spin around, and then, there we go. Luckily, I caught that one. And you spin around again, and then you try and get yourself to the next one. And then when you get a perfect, the coins come towards you, and you have to spin through the whole area to try and get to the finish line. And when you do, I've missed it. There we go. And again, it's riddled with adverts, but if you switch yourself into airplane mode, it's quite a fun game. There we go. Enjoy those two. Where can we get a hold of you, Dark Rock?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK. And again, mostly prepping stuff on the YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/DocRock.
Excellent. Jeff, where would you be?
I'm over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com and Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamet. I'm easy to find. Like on every show, it seems, also. Also, Batwench, I'm so looking forward to the day when we can build together.
Yes. Ooh. I'd like to fit my pieces in with yours.
Unfortunately, Jesus. Sorry, Jeff. Place. She's a very fast builder.
Your husband's in the room, right?
That's all right. He's used to me by now.
Steve, have you got any pieces that Batwench could fit with?
Well,
I've never seen Sandy's lost for words. Jesus.
Or look so terrified.
Holy shit.
Anyway, I can be found at appleworld.today.
No, don't tell her where she can find you, Ike.
And OWC's Rocket Yard blog at rocketyard.com.
Excellent. Patrice?
As always, almost every week here in the Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
And doing a fabulous job keeping the back scenes going at BTN. Yeah, no, because there's Anders, and there's him, and a Campion who keep the server room, particularly Anders and Patrice. Mate, we had a little bit of an issue when we went live today. You solved it before we even came on in like 20 seconds, so thank you, mate, for all the work you do for us.
Wait, I'm done.
Did it say dub?
Yeah.
I don't know. Muller, where can everyone get you?
Muller Biker on Twitter, Instagram, and the Slack room, and whatever.
Excellent. And Batwench?
At Batwench, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Slack room.
Marvel Comics.
A greenie.
So for me, my normal British Mac .com and Twitter is British Mac and all that.
Is there a full moon, Jew?
Well, there should have been, but it went. And I sort of ran out of time, but I will. So the next one is, I think.
Mate, you haven't got a clue. Neither of the rest of us.
There
you
will
would be distracted if you just saw what we just saw.
Yeah.
You may have seen the crescent.
Yeah, I've seen it. And
you saw the whole of
the moon. Anyway, there's a crack in the moon. That's all I'm going to say. The next British Mac will be with you. I think it's about 2 weeks. But if I feel the need, then I'll put out a new one.
The need for speed. And
before social services come to collect it, Bryony wants to say?
Instagram.
You're on Instagram?
Oh, 1st of August.
Squiggly Squirmer.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
15th of August.
Is it like Facebook, just like plain Bryony Rankin?
Yeah. There you go. my name is Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We're going for a curry now. It's the bash. It's a great time. There's still 2 tickets available if you want to buy them, but I'm going to post this after the bash is over, so there's the point. We'll see you next week. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.